Hello and welcome to the IABC Ottawa podcast, The Voice. Ottawa is one of the International Association of Business Communicators' largest chapters in the world, and we are pleased to bring you a podcast that covers everything from marketing, strategy, social media, crisis comms, public affairs, and whatever else is relevant to communicators. I'm your host, Sherry Ask. Hello and welcome to IABC Ottawa The Voice, episode 125, a look at changing comms trends in 2020. So it is December. I just want to say congratulations to everyone. We have made it to the last month of 2020, the year in which, for me at least, it seems time has no meaning, but we are here. And given the degree to which things have changed this year, it did seem fitting to do the December episode reflecting on some of the big changes in communications and marketing that we've seen this year. And I want to recognize, of course, that everybody's situation is different. For example, some organizations and businesses have been going flat out to adapt to new circumstances. Many people are doing their jobs differently. For example, they're working remotely. They're using new tools to connect with colleagues, to connect with clients. Some people have lost their jobs, or they've had to take leave to take care of sick kids or take care of family. And interestingly, what we're going to explore a bit in this episode is that when we look back at the communications environment, it's actually all of those changes that we've been experiencing personally that have also driven a lot of changes in the communications field. And joining me to talk about all of this is Sharif Virani. Sharif is the creative director at Media Launch, which is an Ottawa and Toronto-based social media agency. He is also a creative entrepreneur who co-owns InstaSnacks, a delivery-only convenience store. And his most recent venture is the Casper Kitchen Company, which is a newly launched ghost kitchen in Ottawa. So he comes at all this with a very strong communications, social media, and business background. Sharif, thank you for joining me and welcome to The Voice.
It's a pleasure to be here today, Sharon.
So let's start with the big picture. Media Launch serves a wide range of clients. What are the big communications changes that you've observed in 2020?
Well, there's been so many changes that have come down the line, mostly primarily, I guess, driven by, you know, what's been going on around the world with COVID and the pandemic. And essentially that's been that the whole industry has kind of fast forwarded about 10 years. So that's been due in variety to a multitude of things, but primarily because, you know, our normal customer, and at Media Launch, we deal with a lot of small, medium-sized businesses, as well with some enterprise clients as well. But for the most part, we've got a very much more informed customer now. And so what happened at the start of the pandemic was a lot of businesses were closing, and, you know, you have small business owners figuring out how they can monetize their business online or at a distance rather. And so, you know, they've sat at home for about 3 months and they've kind of educated themselves on things. And so you've got a customer now that's very well versed in the digital media world. And that's something that we, you know, we've never seen before. We've always had, you know, decently informed customers, but they always came to us for guidance and suggestions. Whereas now we have people coming to us inquiring about, you know, the desire to start launching a newsletter or a podcast or Google Ads or whatever you may have it. But that's something that's definitely not something that we've seen previously before.
And how have comms strategies then changed to deal with that?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So the cycle at which people are consuming content has changed considerably, partially driven by the everyone's at home watching videos. You know, you're at home, you know, you're working, you maybe got a podcast running in the background, or, you know, people are just surfing constantly, kind of surfing the net. And so because of that, our cycle at which content is being produced, including ads, because that is also content, has just increased. And so you need to be a little bit more on top of those things, and you need to be a little bit more agile in your ability to scale up ads and test ads and run different kinds of creatives.
Can you give me an example, I guess, of a client or a campaign that has revamped something that's worked?
Yeah. So one is a client that we're working with called Premium Meats, Simple Coffee Premium Meats. And I've been working with the owner there, Ian, for about 7 years now. And we used to, for example, do our ad creative review almost on a 2-week basis. And so we'd deploy our specials, or we'd kind of come up with a 2-week content plan, and we'd revise that every 14 days or so. Now we're doing that almost twice a week. So, you know, we sit down with him every almost Monday and then every Thursday or so. And we look at what, and we do it on the next week basis, but we look at what we're going to deploy the next week for, you know, our ads and our specials and our content. So basically we've cut our time in half, in 25% almost, in terms of how much time we take doing our analysis and our reporting. And so and I'm seeing that across the board for a lot of clients. And so, you know, we're doing now, you know, usually you do maybe a quarterly content plan or a 90-day content plan. We're definitely doing 30-day to 15-day content plans now, and making sure that we adjust according to market changes. This is particularly relevant for this client in the food sector, because there are so many changes happening in the food sector right now, whether it be, you know, meat shortages, or if you're in Toronto and, you know, you've got a lockdown that's affecting stores, then delivery mechanisms are the only ways that you can get your groceries. And so you need to stay on top of that. And so, you know, I check the news probably religiously now, not that I didn't before, but 4 times a day at least, and making sure that whatever announcements are coming down the line from the government are taken into consideration into our ads as well, into our go-to-market strategy, into the promotions and specials that we're advertising, or just into the content that we're creating.
Yeah. So just as a takeaway, to keep up with that pace, like constantly refreshing visuals, constantly refreshing messages. So you're on point with what's being talked about in real time, which is a lot of extra work for comms people. Are there messages that obviously every client is different, but are there key themes that people are gravitating towards that are really resonating to sort of cut through some of that noise?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so to answer your first part, it is definitely a lot of work. So, you know, my partners and I, as entrepreneurs, the first thing we did when we sat down, or virtually sat down, I guess, at the start of COVID, was what can we do to help empower our customers during this time, and, you know, also empower our staff. And so we looked at what are the things that we thought were, you know, almost guaranteed ROI for our clients that we could help them kind of push out campaign-wise and communication-wise to, you know, to give them enough revenue and runway to make it through COVID. And then what can we do from there to kind of look at digital transformations? So at first it was kind of going, I don't want to say the low hanging fruit, but I want to say kind of the things that had the largest return in terms of ROI, and then using that money to then funnel out new digital strategies, you know, post COVID, based on what, you know, what we saw were trends in market research. And then to lead into your second part of the question, what are those trends in market research kind of showing, is that people are really looking now to support Canadian economy, to support companies with Canadian values, and to really support those mom and pop stores. You know, all this effort in marketing campaigns done by, you know, great BIAs like the Wellington West BIA or the Bywood Market BIA, the Glebe BIA, Spark Street, etc., to really help push promoting and supporting these local independent businesses has done great, and it has made a difference in these people's lives and the lives of their families as well. And so we're seeing that spill over into the research and into the purchasing habits of Canadian consumers.
And that is, you talked about, or you mentioned ROI, return on investment, because we've talked about the strategy side of things. But when you look at distribution, there are so many ways to get your message out today. And if you'll humor me, I want to ask you about TikTok, which I realize is a specific Sure. platform. But I think in a lot of ways, you could call it sort of the app of the year. You know, everybody sitting at home on their Mm-hmm. phones. I know there's been stats saying that it's seen triple the use in Canada in the past year. Are you getting questions from people, from your clients, saying, hey, what is this app? Do we need to be on it? Should we be on it? Or do people still think it's just for kids? What's your takeaway on TikTok this year?
So TikTok's definitely an interesting app. You know, I come from a production background, or my family's in production background. So I've always kind of been really interested in the video first apps that have been out there, and TikTok being one of them. And it's a creator first app. So what that means is, you know, it's really based on the content itself, and you don't need to have a million followers on TikTok in order to get a million views on your video, which is quite the reverse for Instagram. If you don't have a huge following on Instagram or on Facebook, then your content is actually throttled back. You know, everyone knows that, I think, in the communication sector, that every post you put out on your Facebook wall is only shown to X percentage. I think it's about 15% of the total amount of followers on your page. That doesn't exist on TikTok. That's not necessarily the case. So it's become a springboard for these new, for all creators, but especially for new creators wanting to push out content and be able to get, you know, a lot of eyeballs on their content that they're pushing out. And because of that, it's a good fit for some brands, you know. So, you know, there's a couple of brands that we work with in the space that we're looking at TikTok strategies right now, currently, and we're most likely going to be deploying them, if not December 1st, but January 1st. One is a property management company that has got a local hub called ottawaapartments.com. And so, you know, creating a TikTok account that's very Ottawa-centric and very Ottawa-focused about what it's like to live in Ottawa and the daily struggles of someone living in Ottawa was the direction that we decided to go with for that. And that's just a way for them to get, you know, further engagement and also do a little bit of market research. And so that's a way that, you know, TikTok is useful as well. We've got another brand that I'm actually involved with on the ownership side as well called Insta Snacks. And so that's a candy and snack brand. And it just lends itself so naturally to TikTok. There's so many fun things you can do based on that and then create some sales funnels, you know, to your website. A perfect example of that, of two people that have done that using TikTok. One is a company out of Toronto called Candy Funhouse. And so they do actually candy wholesale. They were a wholesale candy company. They've started doing direct to home candy delivery. And through that, they've launched this amazing TikTok channel where they, you know, their staff is going through, you know, the warehouse, trying out different sour candies and different things like that, you know, Willy Wonka, et cetera. And so those are really kind of fun pieces that are really kind of entertaining to see. And then, you know, there's some cool little snacks that you see on there. If you like that one, you can swipe and you can go purchase it directly. And so those are great engagement strategies. And it's a great new way to engage customers. And like I said, you know, if for a company like Candy Funhouse, who essentially started at zero followers on TikTok, that's not a concern for them because TikTok allows you to still get views if your content is great. So it's a very content first platform. It's a very creator first platform. And if your content has merit, you're going to get traction.
I mean, there's obvious examples like the candy example, anything I think to do with food, it might be a natural fit, anything fun. But if I'm a bigger, more serious organization, you know, a government org or a bigger brand, are there clients you would advise to stay away from TikTok? Or maybe you might consider not having an organic account because you don't maybe want to do dance challenges, but you might say, okay, I'm going to go into this for advertising because you're seeing a huge growth in just eyeballs on TikTok, not just kids, but all ages. Is that something you guys weigh?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that spans beyond TikTok. You know, there are platforms, not every platform is appropriate for every company. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of communication consultants that will just push you, you know, you need to have a YouTube, you need to have a Twitter, you need to have this, you need to have that. Well, is that where your customer is? And is there an ROI there for you? Or are you just doing this communication activity because for the sake of doing that communication activity? So everyone's heard that term, social media for the sake of social media. And so it's very important that you as a consumer, and then I guess us as communicators as well, evaluate the benefit of the platform that we're pitching. And that's where I think this kind of more informed client has become really great, because now you're seeing clients starting to question where they're putting their dollars and really able to, you know, maybe reallot some funds from something that was not having such an impact into something that's having a little bit of impact, and you can get a little bit more traction. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you're a garage door company, you probably don't need a YouTube channel. You know, there's not that much great content that you can really put out on garage doors, unless you're talking about repairing them, I guess. I don't really know. But, you know, a garage door company doesn't need YouTube. And so, you know, that's something that we did have a client actually in that area come to us, and we said, you know, I don't think you really need this YouTube channel. You know, how much have you put into it, and what have you seen out of that? And, you know, at the end of the day, they do the math. They go, oh, well, shoot, you know, maybe I've spent $5,000 on these videos when I could have probably put these into, you know, a Facebook ad campaign and, you know, in the early spring when people are getting their garage doors repaired, and that might've been a better bang for my buck there. And
well, the funny thing is, I actually think people might watch garage doors in the pandemic because they're stuck at home. But the other thing you got to remember is nobody shops for garage doors on YouTube, right?
Like, well, that's the thing, yeah. Right? So where are your consumers shopping, and where is that ROI? That again, it goes back to, where's that ROI? So when I say ROI, I mean, like, where are those transactions having place? So another great example of that, you know, CSIS's Twitter account is not the greatest. However, their ads that they run on there are actually pretty great, and they're pretty insightful. And, you know, they're really looking for those people that are on Twitter. On Twitter, you kind of get people that are a little bit more policy and research driven. You know, memes are very popular on there as well. And so they've been running ad campaigns based off memes and stuff like that to really connect with that demographic of, you know, the very well-read policy analyst. And there tends to be a lot of those government people, you know, are sometimes surfing Twitter, whether they should be or not during their day. It's an easy site to get loaded up there with your Facebook.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Yeah.
So Facebook might be blocked, but Twitter's not. So, you know, it's a great kind of recruitment strategy for them to use. And so I would say that same principle of evaluating the use of the platform. Are your customers there? Are they making purchases there? Or even going beyond that, are they doing research there? So it doesn't necessarily have to be in that sense, you know, maybe the garage door thing is great, as you just said, but if I was a garage door manufacturer, it probably has a YouTube channel, and that's probably, you know, informational for their technicians or for their resellers, et cetera. So that content's already there. But if you're just, you know, an independent garage door company, you probably don't need to replicate that content. And so that's what I mean by saying, is there the ROI there? Is our purchases and our decisions being made on that platform? And do you need to be involved in that? Or do you need to be, you know, touching your customer in that sense?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I think the takeaway is these things were important before, right? Like ROI was something we always would have considered in communications and marketing. It's just that in the pandemic, everything is more important. It's amplified, right? Because resources are so scarce, you might not have the money to invest in something. So you've really got to pick carefully. And I mean, as you mentioned, that's where being more educated comes in. And, you know, I brought up TikTok, but social media moves so fast. So there's always a new platform, always a new thing, no matter where we end up in 2021, if we're still sticking to that main base strategy of what are the values people are looking for, what's going to get us our biggest return on investment, we're probably doing smart communications. Is that?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And like, you know, I'm really excited to see where TikTok's going to go. TikTok as a creator first platform has been a huge, a huge boost to some of these kind of influencers and different kind of podcasts out there. And one of the biggest kind of e-commerce SKUs right now that you'll find online, there's a podcast called the H3 podcast. And they've got a clothing line, a swag line, if you will, called Teddy Fresh. And it's like, you know, it's worth like $100 million or something like that right now. And that's never before, like, you know, merchandising, has always been big for bands and stuff like that on tour, but it's never really translated that well online until the past year or so, partially promoted by kind of the rise in popularity of podcasts, but partially by Instagram and soon to be TikTok. And that's where you see this partnership with Shopify and TikTok happening, because it's going to really empower these creators to start really throwing out their swag and their products that are maybe sponsoring their clips and things like that, and allow to close that kind of that e-commerce loop there. And so that's where you see this partnership between kind of TikTok and Shopify kind of coming in. And then of course, Shopify has their, you know, their fulfillment thing as well that they've launched as well. And so, you know, say I'm a podcast guy, or I'm a cooking influencer, and I've got, you know, aprons, and I'm wearing that apron every steak video that I'm making. Well, now you can click and you can buy that apron, and Shopify is going to fill that order for me through their fulfillment network. And so that's that whole closed loop ecosystem. And I'm not even touching the swag at any point in time. All I'm doing is wearing it on, and I'm just focused on creating quality content. So TikTok and Shopify is a great marriage, but you know, TikTok is an app that's really allowing people. And like I said before, it's a creator first app. It's really letting creators focus on the quality of their content, and it's taking care of the revenue side of things. Whereas before, as a creator, you know, you always had to think about, okay, I'm putting out a YouTube video, but you know, this is going to cost me X amount of dollars to put out, to film it, produce it, et cetera. How am I going to make this money back? Okay, well, now I got to think about this. I got to put a link in the description. I got to ask people to donate on my Patreon, et cetera, et cetera. And that takes away from the amount of time that I then spend on that content. So TikTok's removed that all from the equation. They said, you know what, we're going to build in that e-commerce kind of stream for you. And we just want you to focus on the content and just push out great content. And that's what it is. If you build it, they will come, kind of thing.
Lastly, taking a step back, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't look into the future. But if you had a piece of advice or something, going forward, because long-term planning is tough right now, what would you say to a brand or a client is a good strategy?
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one is there's so many grants out there right now. Digital Main Street Grant is a great grant. If you're located on a business street, on a busy business street, and you're implementing any type of marketing or digital communications, you should be applying for this grant. It's a gift of $2,500. It doesn't take that long to complete. And you can put that towards your website, towards deploying an e-commerce. We work with a lot of clients right now where they come to us, they say, hey, can you help me get this grant? And we help them write the grant paperwork. And then, we kind of guide them through it. They submit the grant on their own, they have to. And then, you know, we deploy the e-commerce site for them. So that's something that, you know, you can do right now as a small business, as a small, medium-sized business owner or a mom and pop. You should definitely be looking at that grant, number one. Number two is always question why. Don't be afraid to ask, you know, your so-called quote unquote expert why. If they are an expert, they'll have the answer why. And so don't be scared to ask them. You know, if they're telling you, you need a Twitter channel, you need a YouTube, and ask them why. If they don't have an answer for you, then you should probably start, you know, doing a little bit more research or maybe getting some other quotes too. The third tip I would give too is this is a great time to deploy new things, but don't confuse new with experimental. They're not mutually exclusive. So something new. If you're a butcher shop, deploying an e-commerce store is maybe new, it's maybe experimental for you, but it's not new for the sector. And so if you're a butcher shop and you know, you should be doing online delivery. That's almost a no-brainer right now. it might be experimental for you, but it's not new. Now, should you be doing TikTok right away? Maybe not. So take it in steps and, you know, go for those things that you know are going to generate revenue, allow you to reach your consumer, provide your product to them, your quality product to them in a quality fashion, you know, provide a great customer experience, then start looking at maybe some of the more experimental stuff. But don't try to tackle everything at once just because, you know, someone's telling you that this is a great time to do marketing and you got to try everything under the sun. Tackle the things that you know are going to generate some ROI for you first that you've maybe seen in competitors. A competitor can inspire you very easily. So, you know, look for those inspiring examples in your sector. Try to see if you can mimic that for yourself or create that original experience for yourself and then move on to the next thing. But don't try to tackle everything at once. You know, if you get that Digital Main Street grant, I think it's depending on your business. If you're in retail, it's almost a no-brainer to throw that towards an e-commerce store and, you know, or maybe throw that towards, you know, some Facebook ads or something like that. From then on, maybe in a couple months from now, you can look at TikTok and you can look at some of those other things. But, you know, really focus on right now what your business needs and what are some proven strategies that you can pull from similar examples in the market and you know, implement them on your own business model. That would be my three main tips.
That is so helpful. Really practical advice too, like going forward. Thank you so much, Sharif. I really appreciate having your insights on these topics, your insights into TikTok, and good luck with all of your own ventures as well.
No problem, Sherry. Thanks a lot.
And that was Sharif Virani. He is the creative director at the social media agency Media Launch and the creative entrepreneur behind InstaSnacks and the Casper Kitchen Company. And now it is time for the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we feature an IABC Ottawa member or volunteer and ask them to answer a set of rapid fire questions about their career interests, life interests, all of that fun stuff. And this month, I am thrilled to introduce you to Raphael Desordi, who is the IABC Ottawa Volunteer of the Month for November. Raphael, welcome to The Voice.
Thank you very much, Sherry, for having me.
No problem. Happy to have you here. Before we start, why don't you tell us a bit about what you do in your day job and also how you came to find IABC Ottawa?
So I'm a communication specialist for the Institute for Science, Society and Policy at the University of Ottawa. And we're a very small team. So I basically run the communications shop. So I'm a graphic designer. I also do social media posting, so all the graphics, I edit and I design the reports that we publish. We have an initiative called Positive Energy, and we have several reports that we launch at different times of the year, so I do that. I run the logistics of the Institute. So before COVID, it was in-person events, and I would do everything that you need to do to, like, event planning and that sort of thing. And now it's all about Zoom and Teams and things like that, the sign of times. I also produce two podcasts for the ISSP. And the concept and everything, it was interesting. That's what I believe it's an honor for me to be at The Voice. I use The Voice as an inspiration for our own podcast. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. So I'm probably one of the few people that has listened to all 124 episodes.
Oh my goodness, that is wonderful. Okay, well, you should be the host then. Like,
no.
What am I doing here?
No, I'm fine with what I'm doing now.
And you are Volunteer of the Month. So what is some of the recent work that you've been doing with IABC and how did you connect with IABC?
So when I joined New Ottawa, I decided it would be good to brushing up on some of my communication skills. So I took some courses at New Ottawa and I met Caroline Keeley. That she was your guest at episode 123. And she, on the first course, she mentioned IABC. And she said, Raphael, I think it would be a great idea if you joined the organization because of networking and you're going to be able to talk comms all the time and meet other people that do the same thing that you do. So I joined fall of last year. So this is my second year with the organization. And I am I'm the director of membership. So we are a good team. We're six or seven people, depending on the time of the year. And I work under VP membership.
That's wonderful.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy to be a part of IABC Ottawa, one of the fastest growing branches of IABC around the world.
Yeah, it is. It is a great network. I have to say, I'm a huge fan as well. Not as big of a fan of you. I confess, I have not listened to all of the podcast episodes. So I feel honored just to have you here. All right. Are you ready for this month's questions?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it. What do you, well, I guess we kind of just stole the thunder on this. What do you appreciate the most about the IABC community?
I think it's talking comms with communications people. I know it's going to sound silly, but unless you are in communications, a lot of people don't understand what I do. So, you know, my title is communication specialist. So it's kind of like, so what exactly do you do? But if you are in comms and you say I'm a communication specialist, people go immediately, they go, yeah, I get it. So I'm a huge fan of the member meetup that happens every last Thursday of the month. I think that's just great because it's comms people talking about comms.
Yeah, you kind of can't get that anywhere else, right? Like people yes. who can really relate to what you're doing. Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
What quality do you value the most in colleagues or managers?
Empathy. I think it's very important. My current supervisor, I always tell her name is Monica Gettinger. She is the best boss I ever had in my life. And one of the many reasons why that is because of her empathy and her understanding of how I work and the fact that I'm like an overachiever, that I'm always trying to do a lot of things. So she's very good at understanding the work that needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and just a general empathy, especially now with COVID. We have there's a big risk that we're going to all burn out as mankind. So it's very important to have a manager to understand their resources and their employees, right? And I feel that this everyone should have empathy, especially nowadays.
Yeah, that's such a good answer. And good to point out, too, that it was important before, but even more so now.
Yeah.
What would your dream job be if you weren't working in communications, Raphael?
So I am also a musician. So I'm a harmonica player and a singer, and I have an acoustic duo here in Ottawa called the Hellraisers.
This is amazing. This is why I love this round so much. The Hellraisers. How long has this been going on?
Well, I've been playing for over 20 years, and my bandmate and friend, Maxime Valliere, he has been playing for 20 years himself. But together, we've been together now for 2 years, and we do original songs. It's a blues acoustic duo. So my dream job, if I weren't working communications, would be a professional full-time musician. Obviously, that would require the job. I would have to make ends meet, right? So it's not possible nowadays for a person to be a professional musician all the time. But if that was possible, if I could make ends meet, I would definitely be a professional musician.
And you would be really good at marketing yourself because you have the comms background, right?
Exactly.
What is your go-to piece of advice for comms professionals?
I think the main thing nowadays with the state of our profession, we have to know a lot about different things in different areas. So it's much more broad than before. So instead of complaining about how the status of our profession now, how the state of our profession is now, where, oh my God, we have to know all these things and the company is asking us to do all the things, I take my time to get better at all of those things. So I always try to be prepared. So okay. My one piece of advice is always keep learning.
Oh, so important. Yeah. And summarizes like what you said, like how the field is always changing.
Yes.
Lastly, name one thing that's been helping get you through the pandemic.
I think the main thing is the love of my family. So my family is my wife here in Canada, and we share an office because we're both working from home, right? Mm-hmm. And that made us even closer if that was possible. She's the love of my life, and the pandemic actually brought us even closer. And my mom and my sister, they live in Brazil. And my father-in-law and my mother-in-law also live in Brazil in a different city. So we do this. I've been in Canada now for 10 years. And we do this like once a week, we do video calls, right? Like what everyone is living through now, this was the past 10 years of my life on FaceTime or Skype or Zoom, whatever. We're doing this video calls. And now we're doing this even more, right? Because we cannot fly there to visit them. Mm-hmm. So I believe that what's getting me through the pandemic is my family's love.
Oh, that's wonderful, Rafael. And they're doing okay in Brazil as
yes.
well?
Yes, everyone is okay. Everyone's staying at home. Yeah, everyone is staying at home and everyone is wearing a mask and they cut their social contacts. They're doing social distancing. Not everyone in Brazil is doing that, but I'm proud to say that my family is doing that.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And I know, like, especially like going into this month, so many people are thinking about their families and those video calls make all the difference. So that's such a nice note to end on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rafael. It was like an inspiration to speak with you. You are clearly so, so passionate about communications and IABC. So I'm thrilled that we got to feature you as a volunteer of the month. And congratulations.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode of the IABC Ottawa podcast, The Voice, episode 125. Thank you for listening. If you like this episode, please share it and send us a review or feedback. You can reach IABC Ottawa on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Our handle is at IABC Ottawa, and we are also on LinkedIn. You can also check out our social and website, ottawa.iabc.com, for info on all IABC Ottawa networking, professional development events, future meetups, and more. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the IABC Ottawa newsletter. There is a lot happening this year digitally, and you don't want to miss it. I'm your host, Sherry Ask, and until next time, it'll be 2021. Let the music play.